Blog Talk Radio.
There are many things that can make a huge difference in your life. Some of these things can change everything for you on their own. If you are committed to work on them all, you will become one powerful human being. If you are committed to change, to improve, you will change. You will improve. Here's seven things that you can control that will make a massive difference in your life if you decide and commit to them. Number one, your thoughts and beliefs. Number two, being kind to others. Number three, your effort. Number four, your pursuit of knowledge. Number five, your gratitude for what you do have. Number six, how you treat others. Number seven, who you surround yourself with. Now let me explain how these things can make a difference in your life. Number one, your thoughts and beliefs. How you see the world is how you live in the world. If you believe people are mostly good, you will see mostly good people. If you think about all the negative things around and the bad people in the world, that is what you will attract. The meaning you give to everything in your life becomes your life. If you believe in miracles, you might attract one. If you don't, you have no hope. If you believe your best is yet to come, your best is on its way. It does not take a lot of common sense to understand that positive people live better and happier lives than negative people. People who believe in abundance and expect abundance enjoy more of it than those who speak of lack. So sharpen your mind, practice positive affirmations, work on yourself every day. You are in control of your mind and beliefs, and shifting this can change everything. Choose to see the magic in the mess. Choose to see the power you developed from your pain. Choose to see the strength you gained from your struggles. They did make you stronger. Number two, being kind to others. Kindness and compassion shouldn't require effort. It's just part of your real nature. And when you give, the universe always returns with interest. When you are kind to others, more people are kind to you. If you choose to see negativity, negativity will show up in your life. Kindness, compassion, and giving to others not only lifts them, it lifts you too. There aren't many better feelings than knowing that you made a difference in the life of another human. You don't know who is hurting. One simple, kind interaction could change someone's life. It could save someone's life. You never know what your words mean to another or when they might need it. So be kind and always remind those close to you that they matter. Choose kindness over your need to be right. Kind people are always the most loved. You want more love? Give more love. You want better friends? Be a better friend. You want more kindness? Be a kind person. Regardless of what others do or don't do, be kind and watch those around you change with you. Number three, your effort. You can't mistake this one. Your effort equals your results. The law of attraction is only going to work if you do. This does not mean it needs to be a struggle. Effort can be effortless. It can and should be doing something you love. It needs not be a struggle, but you must put in the work if you want the results. You are always in control of the amount of effort you put in, the amount and quality of the work you put in to your business and yourself. So you are always in control of your results. Number four, the pursuit of knowledge. You are always in control of your own self-development and growth. This world is changing so fast, and if you are not willing to grow, you will fall behind. As humans, we must be growing to live our fullest life. Choose topics that light you up. Expand your mind and soul with books, audio, seminars, anything that makes you feel better and become better. Commit to self-growth, anything that makes you feel better. Commit to be a curious seeker of what makes you light up. what makes you stronger, wiser, more powerful, and when you grow, help someone else up to your level. Number 5, being grateful for what you do have. We speak about gratitude a lot. The best teachers on earth speak about gratitude a lot. Why? There's no better way to improve your day or your life than perspective and gratitude for what you do have. What can you appreciate today? What is great in your life right now? Number 6, your presence. Most people live almost exclusively in their heads, stuck in an endless cycle of worry and anxiety about the future, stuck in an endless cycle of regret about the past, meaningless mind transactions of no value. Be one of the few who live in this moment. Be one of the few who notice their family and friends, who notice the miracle of existence on this earth. Live more in the present. Enjoy the little things. Leave your devices behind more often. Get out of your head and into the magic of life right now. Number 7, who you surround yourself with. You always choose who you surround yourself with and how much time you give all the people in your life. You choose if people drain your energy or give you energy based on the quality and compatibility of people you surround yourself with. Surround yourself with people that make you feel good about you. People that get you, that allow you to be you.
Welcome to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. My name is Stacey Lunsford, and we would like to welcome you to tonight's show that is entitled Eloquently Speaking About Acting Like You Don't Know. And I hope that you were blessed by all of the questions that were presented to you through our opening piece. And one of the questions that I wanted to ask is, how are you growing? Because you are responsible for how you grow. But if you act like you don't know, that's going to affect how you grow. So tonight, our co-host is none other than life coach Erica Burnett. And our co-host is Apostle Sheila A. Olive. And yours truly, Stacey Lunsford, the pastor of poetry. So Erica will be leading tonight's discussion. And before I turn the mic over to her, I have another question for you. How kind are you? How mean are you? And do you live in your head? Do you live in the past? Do you live in the present? Do you live in the now? And my question is, in regards to those questions, do you know what to do, but you don't do what you need to do to change your situation? And at this time, Erica, welcome to the mic, and it's yours.
Hello, ladies. Good evening. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Thank you.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Awesome.
How about you, Apostle?
Doing wonderful. Thank you.
Great, great, great. I want to welcome everybody to the show. And this is a really, really, really good topic. It's one that has been roaming around in this head of mine for a while. And I want to start you guys off with a scripture, and normally I'm not the one who actually reads scriptures, but this one I thought would be very good for tonight's show. And this is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. And this is the NIV version. And it states, always learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Meaning, you will never know if something is true or not if you do not apply what you have learned. And I think that is so very important. And I'm going to give like a couple of examples, because I believe that a lot of us, we do have the tools, we do have the necessary information, but for many reasons, we choose not to use it. And so these are basic a couple of these examples are basic everyday situations. You know how you're driving on a three-lane highway, and sometimes, depending on what highway you on, they have like a solid line. So rules say, the law says, you are not supposed to cross the solid line. You only cross the dashed line, the one that's separated. But you see many of us, and I'm guilty, I've done it, I've crossed the solid line. But many of us cross that line, and we know we're not supposed to. And my thing is, many of accidents have happened because of that, because of people do not pay attention to the law that they know. They already know that they're not supposed to do that. They're choosing not to act like they know. And folks have died because of it, from crossing a line. You see it on the news all the time. And that's basic. That's every day. That's a simple one. That's a simple one. And another popular one is when you have a conversation with your doctor, you know, you're not feeling well or whatever. You go to the doctor and the doctor tells you, well, you got high cholesterol. And you really need to watch what you eat. You need to stay away from the fried foods and the fast food restaurants and all that stuff. And what do you do? I'm guilty. I'm not sitting up here judging, because I know I've done it plenty of times. They done told you that, and you come right on out of the doctor's office, and you hungry. But see, you don't feel like going home and cook nothing, so what do you do? You sitting up in McDonald's having you a Big Mac and some fries, and your excuse to yourself, this is what you tell to yourself, well, I was hungry, and I ain't close by home, and I just had to have something to eat, and this was the most convenient place that I could stop to get something to eat. Devil is alive. Okay? You have plenty of choices out here, but we choose not to. He gave you the information. He said, this is what you need to do to lower your cholesterol, to get yourself healthy. He told you what you needed to do. You walked out of that office and you chose not to. And whatever the reasons, you know, whatever your reasons were at the time, but we all have done something like that. So what I want to do is I want to start off by asking our lovely ladies on the show if they could give an example of a time when they had the information and they did not use it, and why it was not used. And can we start off with Apostle Sheila? Can you give us an example?
Good evening, Erica. Thanks for the opportunity. Well, that's kind of a broad spectrum. You're asking me to pick from 63 years of experience. I can honestly say I've never been lost, because even prior to GPS, you ladies are younger than I am, so you may not remember back in the day the old atlases that, in particular, my parents used to carry them in their car when they traveled. They were huge. They were like 2 feet, a foot and a half tall, and maybe a foot wide. And so I learned from my dad to depend on the atlas. And I remember one time my ex-husband and I were traveling. He was going from an old duty station to a new duty station. He was in the Army. And so we were traveling from the West Coast to the East Coast, coming across country, and we stopped at a gas station. I think it was in Arkansas. And, you know, he was fumbling around. He paid for the gas and kind of got back in the car really haphazardly, not paying attention to what he was doing. And we discovered later on, maybe down the road, we were going to stop for something to eat, and he couldn't find his wallet. Well, in that wallet was all the money for our travel. He had taken out some extra money. So it may have been a good maybe $500-$600 in his wallet. But more than being upset about not having a wallet, we did not have an atlas or any form of map with us. So at that point, we were winging it. We didn't have any way to direct us from where we were at that point to where we were going. And so, and didn't have a wallet to go to the store to purchase a map. So we ended up going to an old seedy motel and grabbing a map out of one of the, they had a showcase of all of the in points of interest in the area. And in there, they had a free map. So we grabbed a free map out of there and kind of pieced our way across the rest of the country to get to our point of destination. I think part of having or not having what you need at the point when you need it is using your resourcefulness to guide you and navigate you to a resolution for your issue at any given point. So we didn't have what we needed, but we pieced it together through being resourceful to get to where we were going. Because at that point, we were lost. We were out of money. We didn't have an answer. We were just both sitting there looking at each other, saying, "Can you believe this?" But, you know, I came up with the idea to stop at a hotel and find a map. So, you know, I don't know if that kind of fits in, but I think being resourceful never hurts in any given situation.
That's true. I agree. Being resourceful, absolutely. That's God stepping in there saying they need help. So let me help them. Help them out, help them so they can get out of here and get to where they need to go. But no, being resourceful does definitely do it. It really does definitely do it. And I thank you for sharing that story. That was funny. Because I'm one who does not like to be lost. I remember being lost and I was in tears. So it's not fun for me, I tell you. Man, that is too funny. Miss Stacy, can you share a story for us about a time when you had the information and you didn't use it?
Yes, I can. And we also have a caller that has raised their hand at the early part of the show, so I just wanted to let you know that.
Okay.
And did you want to take that first, or you want me to answer first?
You know what? Go ahead and answer first and call her. We're going to, as soon as Stacy tells her story, we are definitely going to open up your line so you can comment and speak.
I love what you said about the double lines when you are driving, because that absolutely means do not cross the line. And if you cross the line and a police officer is present, you can get a ticket. But and it made me think about those non-traditional double lines that we see that's present, but we don't see. Like knowing right from wrong, your ethics, walking in integrity. Are you really who you say you are, or are you perpetrating a fraud? And when you know not to cross the line, but you cross the line anyway, are you willing to pay the price for the decision that you made? So having said that, I want to repeat the theme of the show, which is acting like you don't know. So I recently graduated from a Christian college, and I received my degree in biblical studies. And I love the scripture that you opened up with, by the way. So plenty of times I sat in my classroom and I act like I didn't know. And when I did raise my hand and answer the question that exposed that the professor didn't know, I got in trouble. So after that, I just started acting like I didn't know, because at that point, he had crossed the double lines for not allowing a student to know more than he knew. And it really wasn't about me knowing more or him knowing more, but it was about answering the question from an honest place and rightly dividing the word of truth and not being embarrassed one way or the other. But experience happened. It brought much enlightenment to the discussion in the classroom. And it's almost like driving. Like the professor was driving the bus and we all sitting on the bus and we going along with the professor. But when the word is preached out of context, I can't remain silent. And it's like, do I say something or do I remain quiet? And so I respectfully chose to cross those double lines at that point. And it got me in hot water. And after that, my professor really didn't want to call on me a lot after that, because when I answered my questions, I came correct. And not being arrogant or haughty or anything like that, because I was mislabeled and I was misunderstood. And, you know, it helped a lot of my classmates, my peers. But I had to work extra harder in the class. And I had to act like I didn't know in order to pass the class, because I'm a teacher, and it's like, okay, I'm a teacher, but I'm not the professor of this class. And it really put a bad taste in my mouth, because I don't care what your title is. You could be the Pope or the President. We're all learning and we're all growing. And I believe as a teacher that we should always be open to receive the truth, whether it hurts or not. And it's not about trying to discredit a person or make a person feel bad. So that's what I thought about. And it's some other things that I want to share too, but I'll do that within the show. But Erica and Apostle Sheila, especially what Sheila said about the Atlas, like my dad used to use the Atlas as well. But when he retired from the post office, he used to drive for Boston Coach. So he would have maps galore. And if I was going somewhere and I needed help, I'd say, Dad, can you show me how to get to such and such? And Apostle Sheila, he would pull all them maps out. And I'll be like, Dad, that's okay. I'll get there. Because the Atlas, the maps, Listen, you going back in the classroom, and those maps was hard to read to me. I mean, it's a lot easier now, but it's amazing that you said that, because people traveled this world that did not know where they were going, and that atlas came in handy. So I enjoyed what you said, Apostle Sheila, and it took me back for a moment. So that's what I wanted to share.
Even in your classroom situation, like, you had to use resourcefulness to navigate through that situation.
Absolutely.
Because you being, you know, in your knower, you understand that you are a teacher, yet that's your gift. And being prophetic in your nature, your gift is going to lead you, and it's going to, even in the classroom situation. And so, I enjoyed listening to how you navigated through that situation, how we have to submit and surrender, you know, even in a situation where we know the answer, you know, this is, you know, like you're probably saying, this guy, is he for real?
Mm-hmm. And I love how you say navigate through the class, you know, because that's a very good word, Blaine, because after that, I navigated. And, you know, that poem by Marianne Williamson, Our Deepest Fear. And in that poem, it talks about, you know, not shining our light because we don't want to offend other people, or, you know, I'm paraphrasing, or be in the limelight. So we play it small. And it's unfortunate, but sometimes, and I mean, and again, we have to use wisdom, because if you go into a situation and depending on how you navigate it, you can end up in hot water. You can end up being ostracized. You know, I mean, so many things can happen. But when you get to that place with God where your confidence is in him, you don't care about the consequences, because you're going to be righteous, and whatever happens, happens. But I will never play small again. I will use wisdom. Sometimes we just need to be quiet and act like we don't know. And then when the time comes to speak and God lets you speak, they be like, oh, wow, she knew all along. Because it is what it is.
That's so true. And I just want to add to what your situation that you explained about you and the teacher, is that basically in the beginning when you called out the truth and you stood your ground, really you acted like you knew. You know what I mean? You knew you had the information and you put it out there. But at the same time, on the other side, because of how he responded, his response, you were forced into acting like you didn't know.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was navigating, but you were forced into that position just so you could get through the class and be done. So that's the thing, and that's the one part I never thought about, people being forced into acting like they don't know. Because a lot of times we have that's something we have to do. It's just,
mm-hmm.
just like you said, be quiet and don't say anything. Sometimes you're forced in that situation. And it's not like they're tying your arm. It's just maybe God saying, not right now. You'll have your time to do what it is I need you to do. So that's really good. I never even thought about that. That's really, really, really good. We have a caller, right, that wanted to speak.
Yes, caller with the last four numbers, 6689. Your mic is open.
Well, praise the Lord, ladies. I was all geared just to listen, but I'm still just listening. I thank God for the questions and the answers and the different responses. And my mind is going like, do I really need to answer this? Do I really just need to be quiet? Well, I can't get no help if I just be quiet. How about, I don't know, you know, like, you can be, I don't know, that's just a broad area. And there have been so many things I've gone through throughout this day. But acting like, let me understand it, acting like I don't know, but yet still I do. Is that, am I right? I'm on the right page with that?
You are on the right page. A lot of us have the information, but we act like we don't have it.
Right. I know for
myself.
And
there could be many reasons for that.
I know sometimes I'll begin to elaborate on something. And I think because I'm learning how to really get to the point of whatever it is, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm being shut down. I can talk too long, okay, and still not get to the point. But but there are times I know I know. And for me, spiritually and scripturally, I crossed the lines a lot of times. And I knew not to do that. However, I didn't always want to admit that. I didn't always want to admit that I knew the truth and I knew the right way to go. But I didn't want to go that way. However, because of the grace and mercy of God and choosing not to remain where I was because I wasn't comfortable, I chose to get on the right side and not to, you know, not to cross over that solid line, you know, not being afraid, having been afraid that if I tell you what I really know and how I really feel, I'm going to be rejected. And that has been at different times of my life, you know, feeling shut out because I don't have, not pretending to anyone here on this line, but because I don't have the degree, but maybe God has taken me through different situations and different scenarios, and I know what you know, because he has shown me and brought me through it and taught me in a different way. I wasn't in your classroom. I wasn't in that classroom, and, you know, but the professors, they ain't always right, and they don't want to admit that too. So learning how to look at myself and my circumstances and being quiet when I don't want to be quiet because I know. Now what do I do about it?
Give us an example of a situation where you knew when you didn't know? Because you're talking, but you're kind of like not really being clear.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's up to you if you want to share or not, but I want to just kind of keep it, you know, close with the topic. Do you have anything you want to share specifically, like an example?
Not right this minute. No, I don't.
Okay.
It's too many things. So I'm digesting things right now so that I can
Okay, and that's a good way to say it. Like, because you could tell that you're still working through some things. And let me ask this question. What stood out to you about this particular topic? Acting like you don't know.
The humbleness in acting like I don't know, it made me keep confrontations down. I may not be saying the word just right, but to keep an argument down, to keep keep from being shut down. You know, well, I know. I'm still not answering your question right.
No, you did. Did answer it. What I want you to do, when you come on the line, and this is for everyone that is on the line, and we thank you so much for coming and for sharing. And, like, I kind of put her on the spot with the question, and that's not to cause embarrassment, but sometimes I'm going to present questions just to bring you out of your comfort zone. Now, what the caller just said is very good because in a roundabout way, what you're really saying is what do you do, like acting like you don't know. You know what to say, but you don't want to cause conflict. You don't want to cause unhealthy confrontation. Because sometimes when you do know and you speak up about it, then the people or a person that is not ready to receive what you know, they can become offensive. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Okay.
You're
and
right.
That is a very, that is a very, very good topic because it happens a lot. And when you look at people from the boardroom to the courtroom to the classroom to the art room, many people find themselves in a situation where they act like they don't know because of that very thing. And Erica, I'm going to turn it back over to you, but these are really good examples because we cannot hold back or not be the light that God has called us to be for fear of ruffling feathers. And again, we have to learn how to navigate in certain situations and ask God for wisdom. Because sometimes God will tell you, and Apostle Sheila, I'm quite sure you know, sometimes God will tell you, act like you don't know. That discernment is working. And he'll tell you, act like you don't know. And I'm telling you, I had a problem with that when I knew people were talking about me and I wanted to say something to them. God was like, you know what? Act like you don't know. Let them keep doing what they're doing because you're the bigger person, and I'm going to use this situation for my glory. And don't cross that line. And you know what? Mm-hmm. Accountability. And, you know, sometimes stubborn. Okay, what's going to happen if I ignore God and I respond and I let them have it? Then I'm going to get in trouble, not that person. And I'm being real with you. You know, it's very hard to be in a situation where you know people are talking about you. But you know what? When you grow and you mature and you know that God is developing character in you, then you shut your mouth. He say, be quiet. And the word tells us, be slow to speak and quick to listen. So today, let people talk about me. I don't care. See what I'm going to become. Because they threw Joseph in the pit. You know, Joseph was very knowledgeable, and he was jealous of that. And so for all of the callers on the line, guess what? If you're operating in the Joseph anointing, whether you know it or you don't know it, many times you're going to have to act like you don't know because it's part of the process of being processed. So, but caller, thank you so much. We are going to ask you to stay on the couch with us as we continue to move forward in the show. And Erica, the mic is back over to you.
You know what?
Erica,
I want to thank you, Beth. Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, Erica, if you don't mind, I wanted to share something. I think one thing.
I don't mind at all.
One thing the caller brought out was sometimes we can act in fear because of what our expectation of how we'll be received when we step forward. So we stay in the background for fear of reprisal, for fear of, you know, backlash from our response or our, you know, stepping forward. You know, sometimes I'm in meetings and I'm in meetings with a lot of executives who have a lot of ideas. Some are more boisterous, you know, than others. And so, you know, I'm inspired to share something, but sometimes I'll draw back because I'm saying, okay, well, these people are all a higher level than me. So, you know, maybe I should share my idea or interject offline when we're not in a room full of high-level executives. So sometimes we can do that because of fear. Fear causes us sometimes to act like we don't know when we do know. When we've got the idea that can change the room, when we've got the idea that can change the company, but we move in fear because of how we perceive we're going to be accepted.
Mm.
Wow.
That's a good one. That's a good
yes.
one. And that's on my list, too. Fear's at the top of my list. That was a great example. Great example.
And
that is so very true.
And that was delicious, Apostle Sheila. And we are going to build on that some more. But, Erica, let's give the caller a chance to respond to what Sheila just said, and then you take it over from there.
Okay. Caller, you can go ahead and comment on what Apostle Sheila had to her comments.
You speaking to 6689?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yeah, there's a fear there. I'd laugh. Yeah, I mean, for real, like, I know that that's not quite right, but I have put up a wall of defense because of fear. Now I have to recognize I put up a wall of defense. Lord, help me to let that wall of defense come down, praise God, and stand firm in my conviction that you got me. That God, by that I mean God got me. His word got me. And then how do I, okay, I guess I sound kind of harsh to a lot of people sometimes. I'm not trying to sound harsh. But how do I don't want to soften something up to a point that it's not being accepted the way I'm feeling it or the way I see it or the way I have learned it. It's just different. So I thank God for that. You know, you're bringing that out because the fear, you can feel people around you. You know, now, Lord, help me to get over the fact that they ain't paying me no mind for real. But what I'm saying is what you've taught me, and it's good. You know, because we should learn one from another, and we should not have to be looking cross-eyed and crooked at one another. You know, we're not. We shouldn't. So when we know something, but we don't want to really talk about it right then because of that fear. And that's where I'm at right now with whatever's going on. The different comments, the different expressions from each and every one of you.
Okay.
I know.
Well, thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm done. No, I'm done. I'm done right now. Go ahead. I want to
hear
some
done?
More because
oh, okay.
I'm learning.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I wanted to give you an opportunity to respond because what Apostle Sheila said was powerful, and what you just said was powerful. So I just asked if I could comment, and my comment, what you and Apostle Sheila just said together, it made me think about King Saul. And everyone, I want you to listen very carefully because the spirit of King Saul is running rampant in the body of Christ today. And King Saul, he praised David. When David killed Goliath, King Saul wanted David to be on his team. He was one of the leaders in his warriors. He won all of these battles. But David won more victories than King Saul did. So then King Saul got jealous and envious.
Yeah.
And he wanted to kill David. He wanted to shut David down. He didn't want David to operate in his gifts or his calling. So now David is playing dumb. David is acting like he don't know. But David was strategic. David was a shepherd boy. David was a warrior. David was praise and worship. He was educated. He was gifted. But he began to act like he didn't know because he didn't want King Saul to get upset with him. So today, based on what Apostle Sheila said about the acting in fear and afraid to step forward is what she said. We got a whole bunch of gifted people hiding in a cave.
running away from King Saul, the spirit of Saul, which represents leaders today in the body of Christ that are gifted by God, some of them, because some of them are imposters. But gifted by God, let's say they are gifted, because at one point King Saul was gifted. He was chosen by God. He let pride get in the way. But because of his arrogance and because he had somebody whose light was shining brighter than his, but he wasn't in competition with him. David loved the king. David fought for the king. David warned the king when the enemy was close because he was a watchman on the wall. And I hope y'all following me. So David, he knew what to do, but now he's in a situation because he's afraid for his life. Saul actually threw a javelin at him and tried to kill him. But God spared his life. Like, everything he did to kill David, it fell. It backfired. And I hope that if you have been in that situation and your pastor or your spiritual leader is holding you back because they're afraid of who you are in Christ Jesus and you are not moving forward for fear of being rejected or ostracized or even assassinated. And I hate this spirit. A true leader, a true spiritual leader is going to see the gifts inside of you. They are going to motivate you. They are going to cultivate you. They're going to cultivate the gifts inside of you, and they're going to help you to become all that you can be. So if that is you and you've been holding back and you've been afraid of really shining your light, you've been afraid of really using your gifts, you know what to do, but you're not doing it. And let me tell you something, you're holding yourself back. You're preventing yourself from getting that promotion. You're preventing yourself from getting elevated because of the fear of a human being that don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. But it's okay, because God understands why you are acting in the spirit of fear. And it really is better if a millstone was hung around that spiritual leader's neck than to put their mouth on you or to put their hand on you or even put you in a position where you're going to run and hide and sit on the gifts that God gave to you. So as you continue to listen to this broadcast tonight, we pray in the name of Jesus that every chain of bondage will be broken and that the spirit of fear will be broken. Do not act in fear anymore as of this day. And don't panic, don't be filled with anxiety, and don't worry. Just ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to speak. And sometimes if he say, don't speak now, then you hold your peace. But don't be afraid, and don't let King Saul steal your voice, your power, and your authority. And that's what I wanted to say.
Apostle Sheila, you wanted to comment?
Yes. I was thinking about scripture in Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 and 27, where Jesus told the disciples, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. And they found themselves in the midst of a raging storm, but that raging storm was an opportunity for them to exercise practical application for what they had just learned, what Jesus had just taught them about faith. So sometimes when we find ourselves forced into a situation or circumstance, it's actually an opportunity. And I always say that. Where chaos is not really chaos. Chaos is only an opportunity in the making. And so here, these disciples find themselves in the midst of a storm, and Jesus is in the boat. But he's in the boat asleep because he's sleeping based on his previous teaching by faith. he had just taught them about faith and about exercising their faith and not giving in to fear, not allowing themselves to be overtaken. And here comes the storm. And what do? They give in to fear. They allow themselves to be overtaken by what's going on around them. And they fail the test. Sometimes we simply fail the test because we're not exercising the authority or exercising the practical application for what we've learned. And so we draw back. That's what the disciples did. They act like they didn't know. They drew back. And they even questioned Jesus. And so he had to rise up and say, look, oh, you of little faith. And he rebuked the winds, and they went to the other side. Now, he had already told them, let's go to the other side. Now, if Jesus is telling you, let's go to the other side, that means we're going to get to the other side regardless of what's going on around us. And sometimes we have to not ignore the circumstance, but remember the lesson. Remember the lesson from the practical application, the experiences, the learning experience that we had before the situation happened, so we don't draw back. Amen.
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 I'm in awe. I'm sitting back here looking for some more. You don't have no more? I'm serious. I was sitting back here listening. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Okay. That was really good. That was a really good explanation. Another example. That was an awesome example of acting like you ain't know, and they just learned. And then he had to turn around again and just straighten them out and say, listen, okay? You know, I mean, that was an awesome example. That really was. That really, really, really was. They sure didn't. They just got taught about faith. And then as soon as they're faced with these troubles, then they just panic and just lose everything they learned. And that is definitely what goes on, especially on this earth today. That's what everyone does. The minute we already know, and the minute we are faced with a troubled time or an obstacle, all of that goes out of the door. It just leaves us. And we stand there frozen like we don't know what to do. And that's just it happens a lot, our human nature. It's different when you teach us something and you're saying this is how you respond in this situation. But when you're not in the situation, it's easy to say, okay, I got it. But when the situation comes upon you, that's completely different. And we as human beings are, when we're faced with something that is tangible, that is in front of us, it's hard for us to sit back and, you know, use what we've learned. We normally go into panic mode and we go into survival mode. And we just do what we know that hits us right at that moment up front. And it's just being human nature. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, finish what you were saying.
No. Go ahead. That's fine.
I love what you said, Apostle Sheila, because as believers, and especially those that grew up in the church, I grew up in Sunday school, so those lessons I learned as an adult, they actually pulled me back in. The words say, train up a child in the way that they should go, and they will not depart. We have all departed at one point or time, and for me, it's those lessons that brought me back. But as we mature in that word, so does our confidence mature. But when the spirit of fear is present, we don't operate in the power of God's word. We actually come out of agreement with his word, and we act like we don't know, but we do know. Everybody under the sound of my voice, you are anointed, you are appointed, you are called by God. But guess what? You're not walking in the fullness of what God has called you to do, because in some area in your life, you're afraid to apply that word, just like the disciples out on the boat in the middle of the storm. We have all been there at one point or another. And it's very good to talk about this because throughout this whole discussion, fear keeps coming up. And fear will prevent you from being all that God has called you to be. Now, there was a time when I knew what to do and I didn't do anything about it because I was afraid. You know, I was like, well, if I speak up, they're going to think I'm trying to be a showboat. I'm trying to, and it's not even like that. When you're a teacher and God put that gift inside of you, you just want to teach the truth. And when the truth is not being taught right, it bothers you. Not in a way where you're a bully or aggressive, but you just want to speak the truth in love. But when it comes to your own personal battles where you need to face your storm head on, fear is a part of that process. But once you come into agreement with the word of God, Amos 3:3, it says, can two walk together except they agree? So we must stay in agreement with God's word, and we must walk in God's word. Because when we stand on his word, guess what? There's no room for fear. The disciples, all they had to do was apply what they had learned, but they allowed fear to prevent them from using the power and authority that Jesus had given to them. And they was with him. They saw him perform miracles, but you know what? They didn't get it. And it's okay sometimes that we don't get it because it's a learning process. It's a growing process. But I want to ask you right now, because we all use Isaiah 54 and verse 17. Oh, no weapons formed against me shall prosper. And if that's really true, how come when the first storm come or the first arrow come at you or the first javelin is thrown at you, you running away in fear? And that's the Selah moment. Pause and think about it. Because if you're going to constantly say, no weapons formed against me shall prosper, the song comes on, no weapons formed against me. Yeah, but you know in your heart that you're afraid. But don't be afraid. If you're going to stick to that word like that, walk in it. Execute your power and your authority. That storm raise up against you, peace be still. That man or that woman want to rise up against you in the spirit of jealousy like King Saul did, speak the word. Cancel the assignment of the enemy. And really, our biggest weapon is the word of God. Speaking his word into existence and using the word in prayer. But we're not babies. I mean, we all are on different levels. And even with the level that you are on, you are equipped to handle whatever the task is at hand. And I'm just saying, use God's word. Stand on his word. And this is an area where we really need to be honest with one another because we are our brother's keeper. We are our sister's keeper. And if anyone is struggling in this area tonight, and if you've been struggling with the spirit of fear, then please, you know, reach out to us so that we can help you if you need prayer, if you just need someone to talk to. But that's what I wanted to say, ladies, because fear is standing out. And the scriptures that Apostle Sheila used was really, really good. And even connecting it with what I was saying about Saul and about, you know, the Davids that are hiding in the cave. It's really time, and the time is here where we really need to honor God and obey God and do what he said versus running away from people that, like I said earlier, they have no control over us, only the control we give to them. So how about that? We act like we don't know just to be controlled by other people when we're already controlled by the King of Kings. It's like we demote ourselves. And we give the power that's due to God to other people that control and manipulate us because they really afraid of us. They're afraid of the anointing in us. They're afraid of the gifts and the calling in us. And that don't make sense to me. Let's rise up and be the warriors that God has called us to be. Back at you, Erica. I'm done.
Okay. Apostle Sheila, you wanted to add some more comments?
Yes. Some number of years ago, I took a class with the police department of the township where I live, and they taught us about muscle memory. Mm-hmm. And muscle memory is doing something repetitively to the point where it becomes a part of your unconscious nature. Mm-hmm. And so when you get in a situation, your unconscious automatically reacts to that situation because you've been trained in that area over and over and over again. And the Word of God tells us to meditate on the Word day and night, to observe, to do what is written therein, that you may make your way prosperous and have good success. And as we meditate, the Greek for meditate is sort of like a cow chewing its cud, a cow chewing hay over and over and over again. So as we meditate on the Word, as we think on it, as we speak it to ourselves, as we read it, look at it over and over again, it creates a muscle memory for us to react, not in our own feelings, not in our own emotions, not in our senses, but in the spirit realm. We begin to react in the spirit with faith instead of fear, with
yes.
grace instead of condemnation. And we can move beyond the situation from it being a crisis to it being an opportunity. See, the disciples, when they were in the boat, they didn't use their faith muscle memory. It just began to rag. Oh, it's a storm. We're going to die. The boat's going to sink. You know, they went into Titanic mode instead of faith mode, you know. And as believers, we have to move beyond being toddlers, being infants, to being mature in the Word. But that was the objective of the apostles in the New Testament church, to bring the body of Christ to maturity. And so we need to go back to that element of the first century church, to bring the body of Christ to maturity so that they can respond with their faith muscle memory and not react with their senses or emotions or draw back. Because God's not going to honor those that draw back. He's not going to uphold those that draw back, because we know better. So, amen.
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 You know,
wonderful.
This is so good. I mean, Apostle, you are so on point. And while you was talking, I'm just thinking about Ephesians 4:11-12. You know, we have so many gifts in the body of Christ. And when we talk about the fivefold ministry, all of that is wonderful. But you know what? The teacher is listed amongst the prophets, the apostles, the pastor, the evangelist, and then it says teacher. And we have so many teachers that are hiding in the background because they overlooked, they misunderstood, and to be honest, they're dishonored and disgraced a lot. When they are the most prolific in the Bible, and they have the ability to do what you just said, to teach, to educate, and to raise up the body of Christ. And that's a situation that we really need to pray about, and also pray that the teachers will rise up. And honestly, I wish we would move away from titles, because, I mean, it's good to know who we are and what our title is, but your function is more important than your title. Because if your title is more important to you and it overrides your function and you're no longer doing what God told you to do, then you could go ahead with that title. because you're making a whole bunch of noise and you're a tinkling cymbal. And honestly, that's what's happened today. People are so busy, you know, being praised because of their title, but they're not functioning. And that's why we have functional illiteracy in the body of Christ today. And people are not educated. And the ones that are, they operate in the spirit of fear because the title dictates what they can or cannot do. And that seriously needs to change. And I'm quite sure our listeners are saying, wow, I didn't expect this conversation tonight to go in this direction because of the title. But it's God's network, and he could do what he wanted to do. And I'm excited because, Erica, this was a very, very good topic. And I'm so happy you chose this topic. And, Apostle, you hitting hard tonight with your contributions. Because we really have to get out of our emotions and out of our feelings and just respond. Remember Shekinah Glory, their Yes album? And I forgot the name of the song, but it was like, take me at my word, I'll do it. Take me at your word, I'll do it. And that's all we have to do. It's not about us, but take God at his word, and he will show us so many things. And I just like, oh, my gosh, it's real simple. It's a faith walk. And we got to believe God more than we believe the people that teach God's word. So, but this is good. I'm excited.
Is it delicious?
It's delicious. It's nutritious.
I had to ask that question. Oh, my goodness. But amen, amen. We have a caller on the line who raised their hand. Last four digits, 1906?
No, 6689.
Oh, 6689. Oh, I thought someone else raised their hand.
Are we back to 6689?
It was 1906. I'm sorry.
Yes, I did raise my hand. It is delicious tonight.
Woo-hoo, yes.
It's very delicious. as I'm listening to you guys and listening to Apostle Sheila and just thinking about Joshua and Moses, their relationship, Moses was actually the leader, but Joshua was being trained behind the scenes by God. So when Moses asked, God said, who's going to replace me? God said, don't worry about that. I have your replacement. I'm paraphrasing, but God had already prepared Joshua, and Joshua became a mighty warrior. And I also thought about how sometimes we allow relationships between a shepherd, meaning your pastor or apostle, come before God. That relationship sometimes can hinder your growth in the Lord, especially when that particular house becomes too traditional. And when the house is so traditional and you're not able to utilize those gifts that God has given you, then it becomes a sense of frustration. You become frustrated with not being able to utilize the gifts that God has given you. So I'm really enjoying this discussion tonight. It really is delicious.
I know that's right. It sure is. We want to, first of all, thank you so much for calling in and sitting with us and commenting on the show. We truly appreciate it. We have another caller, last four digits, 0013.
Yes. Oh, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Hi. I'm so blessed by tonight's feeding. And but the last portion of the topics that you guys are describing, it really hit home for me. And I know you asked yourself, like, how did we get all the way over here? But I'm so glad that you did, because I suffered with that for a very long time, to the point where it caused spiritual insecurity. I knew that my spiritual gift was teaching, and God was raveling it inside of me, but I had nowhere to teach. I didn't have support. No one would train me in the scriptures. And my leaders at the church, you know, like you said, they got really traditional and religious. And the person who was teaching Sunday school was doing that for 30 years already. So she was not willing to necessarily make room for the next generation. And when I went outside of the church and tried to teach on YouTube and find platforms, because the gift was not dying, even if my opportunities were, and if no one recognized them, God was still very much alive in me, and the Holy Spirit was still very much teaching me himself. And, you know, you touched on something many people don't even talk about, and in this weird way, there's a competition of the gifts and titles, and I love what you said, I wish we could subscribe to that. Have no title, right? Just have no title. While I understand the work that's put in any gift and even schooling, right, I think ultimately we continue to find ways to divide and diminish others and their gifts and bring up ours. But I know I have, even now, and I'm going to be very transparent, I am walking out in faith, and I'm starting a church, and I know my primary office is the gift of teaching, and I was starting to operate in that insecurity over the years that developed inside of me, and I would say things to mask my gift, like diminish it myself a little bit. I would say, well, I'm not much of a preacher, I'm just a teacher, to set people's expectations of what they expected from me. And you are very right. The teachers are not, you're right, they're not really the forerunners, but I think that's strategic of the enemy, because for the most part, it is the teachers who's bringing forth the word of God in its entirety. You know what I mean? Like, we may not have, you know, a lot of the antics, but we have the word of God, and that is what we have to offer. So maybe it's strategic that the enemy try to silence a lot of the teachers from operating, knowing they're going to bring God's word to the forefront more than anything. So I appreciate you covering this topic. I receive your encouragement during this time and your wisdom. So thank you very much.
And we thank you. Awesome. Apostle Sheila would like to comment.
Awesome, awesome. That's my spiritual daughter, Pastor Christina Harris from Delaware, and thank her for being on. And then prior to that, our guest was Evangelist Jackie. She's out in the Midwest. And so we have guests from all around the country, and I'm so thankful that people are listening in and people are responding. But I just wanted to share that when Paul was talking to the church at Ephesus, and he was helping them, because the church at Ephesus had an identity crisis. And so in chapter 4, he began to share with them about the offices of administration for the church, meaning apostles, pastors, teachers, and the like. And so those, you know, and we get it confused in our modern day churches, as Stacy has said, as Christina has said. We have a tendency to look at those as titles, and look at those, and some people become so self-absorbed that they get lost in the title and forget the administration of the office. Because Paul was teaching the church at Ephesus that those offices
were for the edification of the church, to build up the church, to bring it to the point of maturity, like I previously shared. And there should be no competition with those offices. The teacher shouldn't precede the pastor. The pastor shouldn't precede the apostle. They're the fivefold ministry. And just like our hand, if our hand operated so that our fingers all operated, which they do operate independently, but you don't see the pinky running off down the street to go to the store when the rest of the hand is trying to grab a glass of water. They should all operate together succinctly in harmony and as the offices of administration should as well. So I just wanted to share that.
Amen.
That was a great analogy. It really was. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Stacy.
Oh, I was trying to fix my phone. Okay. Yes, that was good. I'm so excited. This is a wonderful discussion. And Apostle Sheila, your daughter, your spiritual daughter, Christina, I love her dearly. I love her spirit. And I'm not going to talk, you know, indirectly, but Christina, God bless you and welcome to the mic. I am so blessed by your courage tonight. Thank you so much for confirming what God spoke through me. Even when I first started talking about King Saul and how he was jealous of David, I knew that there was somebody here that it was for. And it was for you and it was for several other people. But because you responded, I just wanted to prophesy to you. And I'm going to prophesy to you with the word of God. And I want you to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And continue to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. You are needed on so many levels in the body of Christ. And I am going to personally lift you up in prayer because the teachers have been on my heart and my prayers for a long time. I have a teaching and training ministry, and the name of the ministry is the Rise and Shine for Jesus Ministry. And I provide a platform for teachers for a lot of times, especially with women in ministry, we have all of these gifts, but they don't know how to operate in their gifts. And then leadership is intimidated, and they don't want to help them grow in that gift. So that's one of the gifts that God has given to me. And so in my teaching and training ministry, listen, I'm looked down on, like people don't honor me or respect me for the gifts inside of me. And that used to bother me, you know, when you're young and you're growing. But people with titles and all that stuff, they look down on you and say, what could she possibly contribute? Well, I don't care about what they say. When I started focusing on the gift and simply doing what God told me to do, I raised up a lot of people. And I'm saying that to glorify God, but I'm also saying it because you're not going to be honored all of the time. And I know that's not what you seek, okay? But when you operate in your gifts and your calling and you know what God has called you to do and you do it with a spirit of excellence, and I am saying that because there is a spirit of excellence upon you. You do it, and your everything is for God's glory. It's for God's honor. But when they look down on you and when they look at your age, don't you dare be moved by any of that, because God has definitely called you. God is the one that, so make God proud and continue to shine your light, because your light is shining bright, and we need you. And we need everybody on this line, whatever your gift is, whatever your calling is, dig into the word of God so that you can learn what God is calling you to do. many times people want to get in the line because they want the prophet or the apostle to tell them what their gifts are. But if you take the time to read the word and you start taking notes and you just look at yourself and really give yourself an honest critique, what are the things that make you happy? What are the things that make you sad? What are the things that make you mad? What are the things that you advocate for? Or who are the people you advocate for? So answering all of these questions will help you to understand your passion. And then once you understand your passion, God will start showing you those areas where you are gifted. And there are several tests out here where you could take a spiritual gift test and find out what your gifts are. But none of that matters if you don't learn about that gift. None of it matters if you're gifted and you're anointed and you have the gift of healing, but you don't know anything about the gift of healing. So it's not about what you have. It's about how well you know how to use what you have. And in order to use what you have, you must study to show yourself approved unto God. All throughout the Bible, Jesus taught us how to pray. All throughout the Bible, Jesus taught us about the gift of healing. And so if we have the gift of healing, guess what? We need to be able to effectively operate in that gift. And I mean, it's just like growing up, maturity. We have beginners. Sunday school, you have the beginners, you have the primaries, you have the seniors, and you have the adult class. We all grow in different levels. But tonight, I'm going to keep putting the charge out there. And even the scripture that I originally shared with you, preach the word in season, out of season. When a lot of people get ordained, that charge to preach the word, that's a scripture that's often given. But whether we're preaching and we're teaching, we must do it to glorify God. And we must do it to be that change. Michael Jackson said, I'm looking at the man in the mirror. We have to have a desire to see people grow, not only in the things of God and in his word, but as a people. And we can't do that without the teachers. So no matter what your gift is, and this is for everybody, no matter what your gift is, no matter what your calling is, no matter what your title is, be a servant, because Jesus was a servant. He was King of Kings, Lord of Lords, but yet he traveled through the birth canal of Mary, a virgin that had never been touched before. Jesus, God, he traveled through the birth canal and entered this world, and he was a small baby that was nursed by his mother, that played with his brothers, because he had brothers, after he was born. But Jesus was human, but he was God. He was a teacher, and even when he was teaching, who is this? So don't, play small anymore, and don't be bothered by people that are intimidated by the gift that is inside of you, especially the teachers that are on the line. And Sheila, we're going to have to do a special series on the spiritual gifts. So let's talk about that off the grid. And Evangelist Jackie, I will invite you to be a part of that as well. But this is really good. And we want to open up the mics at this point for anybody else. And Christine, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to what I just said. And then Erica, I'm going to turn it back over to you. But if anyone is listening and you do have a question or you want to join the conversation, you have a comment, please press 1 and we will open up your mic. And for those that are listening via the internet, we thank you so much for tuning in. We do have people that are listening from Africa and Ghana and Nigeria and Kenya. And we just want to acknowledge you all. And you're always free to join the conversation by sending me your questions or your comments. And I'm going to ask everyone to continue to lift Apostle Sheila Erica and myself up in prayer, but especially Erica, because Erica is really growing in her gifts and her calling. And the scripture that she opened up with, I'm going to ask her to share it again for those that came on a little later. And Erica, because I thought that scripture was so becoming for tonight's message as well. So we're going to let Christine comment, and then Erica, you take over.
Okay.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Well, I receive every single thing you said, and I appreciate you pouring into me. That meant everything. And you just spoke the entire vision that God has given me and that desire, which is, I'm so reluctant to even call it a church because I feel like the vision is more so like a training facility for discipleship, like helping people to give them the opportunity to, like you said, it's one thing to discover a thing. It's another thing to develop and operate in it and the confidence that, you know, with the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to give people that opportunity because at the end of the day, there are so many of us who feel purposeless. Like, it took 4 years of me asking God what my purpose was, and he didn't say anything. He wouldn't even talk about the topic with me. And it caused some wrestling and frustration because I would always say to him, Lord, if you just tell me what I need to do, what is my purpose? Like, just say something. And it wasn't until I was going through my second divorce, and I had my newborn baby and my son in the car, and I'm driving down 95 on a rainy day, and I'm pouring down in tears, and it's pouring down rain, and I'm so broken because I failed again, right? That's that feeling. I failed yet again. I'm such a disappointment. I am the laughing stock of the town. I can't believe this. God, this is too much. And it was that moment when God wanted to talk to me about purpose, and he knew that. He said, first, you have the wrong ideology of purpose. While you're focusing on what it is you may be called to, I'm focusing on who it is you'll be. And you all in the body of Christ have the same exact purpose. Your purpose is to become molded into the image of Jesus Christ. And that don't happen until you start to surrender. And once I can trust your character and your integrity and your love for others and your obedience and the who you are, just like Christ, and it don't happen overnight. It's a little season at a time, a little bit more each season at a time. Once you start working on your who, oh, the what is endless. Continue to be a good steward over who I called you to be, and you'll never have to question me with what you're called to do. And when he said that, I was like, oh, you're right. I had the wrong ideology about what I thought purpose was, right? I really did. So he continued to work on me, and I let him. I miss the mark sometime, but I understand that it's really me he wants. And it's not my and while the gifting is important for the body of Christ, God does not leave us empty for us preparing ourselves as a gift unto him. So when I started to prioritize that very thing, things started to fall into place. And you know, I'm still learning, but I have such a desire to see people in their God-given gifts. And while God wants us to be made in the image of Jesus, Jesus is saying, you know, Colossians says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So ultimately, God wants us to reflect his image, as which was his intended purpose from the very beginning. So I don't want to go on that, but I just definitely – You have to. I can't wait till you guys start talking about the gifting and the pros, and I'm not going to say the cons, but what comes with that. Like, I'm an exhorter, but I'm always discouraged sometimes, right? But I understand that's part of the gift into and how I got to build myself up if I'm going to be encouraging others. I got to stay in that place of encouragement before God myself. So you guys are awesome. I am certainly going to make this part of my edification, and I encourage others to do as well, because this right here is mature conversation.
Thank you so much.
I know that's right.
I just want to say one thing real quick. Thank you so much for everything that you just shared. But when you mentioned the cons, it's important that we do that, because Satan loves to counterfeit everything that God does. So every gifted person that is ordained by God, guess what? You have a counterfeit out there that has perverted that gift and is pulling people away into divination. And we have more Christians that's operating with a psychic gift, which they perverted the gift of prophecy and revelation. But they swear they prophesying. But they borderline on their way to hell because they playing with darkness. So if we don't teach the truth and expose the lie, we're just as guilty. Because we have to prepare people. The spirit of deception is walking amongst every believer. And it's only the grace of God that will allow us to see the difference. Because the word of God says, if it was possible, even the elect would be deceived. So no, you wasn't wrong for saying that. But we are going to continue to present the truth here, because we want people to learn the truth. And it is, when we know the truth will set us free. So while you were talking, I want to say to you that the gift that God placed inside of you is going to position you before great people. You are in a wonderful place with God, and you're actually in a wonderful season of answered prayer. But you also have to take this time to enjoy your personal place, your personal space, your family, okay? Because your schedule is going to get busy. Everything that you're about to do, you're going to go forth and you're going to be very successful, but you're also going to be in great demand because invitations are going to come. And God is going to bring you before people, even leaders, where you're going to teach the mysteries of God's word. So stay humble when he elevates you. Stay humble when these doors start opening up for you. Stay humble when God begins to use you. And always from this day forward, whether you're probably doing it already, but cover yourself with the blood of Jesus every day and cover your family, cover your children. Because you boldly spoke forth tonight. And God is going to honor everything that you said. But I just feel led to just tell you, cover yourself with the blood of Jesus, because there is a wonderful anointing upon your life. And I wrote, to the team, I told them that you're special. And Christina, you're very special to God, but you're not better than anybody else. But the grace, even when you speak, like I hear so much, and now is not the time to say everything, but I hear so much for you, and I celebrate God for who you are, because you have gone through a lot, and it's because you embrace the sufferings of Christ that God is able to trust you on the level that he trusts you. So tonight, you are free to move forward and execute God's plans and his purpose for your life, and to do it with the spirit of excellence, and to boldly do what he called you to do. And don't worry about what you don't have, because he's going to supply every need according to his riches and glory. But it's a privilege and an honor to meet you. And, can I have your autograph now before you get all big and stuff? You were supposed to laugh.
No, I am. I'm up here texting Mom Sheila now. So, yeah, I didn't want to be too disruptive. So, yes.
No, we want to. Amen, amen. Erica, I'm going to turn it back over to her, but Erica and I, we bust out laughing all of the time, and we're quite silly, and we're trying to get Apostle Sheila to join in with us because we don't always want to be serious. I mean, we could be serious but still have fun, and we want to get the word out that Christians have fun. Believers, we do have fun, and it's okay. So, okay, Erica, I'm done. But I'm excited. I love moments like this. And we have to, all of the seasoned ones on that's on the broadcast with us, this is what we need to do for the younger generation. And the Titus II women, we need to rise up. So we need to have a conference. We need to have a retreat. We just need to do so much stuff. I'm excited. But, Erica, the mic is yours. You are the lead tonight, so I'm sorry.
This is God's show. It's not my show.
So hey, it is no problem with me. I love listening to all the conversations, all the comments, and everything because I'm over here learning myself. I never stop learning, so I know how to sit back, listen, and I know how to take notes. And you guys had a lot to talk about, and I took a lot of notes, mental notes, and I wrote some on the paper too. So I'm perfectly fine. Apostle Sheila, did you want to say something?
I said I'm laughing. I'm on mute.
Oh, she said she laughed. Oh, you just couldn't hear. You just couldn't hear her laughing. She laughing in silence.
Good.
She was
I'm
laughing
glad,
in silence.
Apostle.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is good. This really is good. Evangelist Jackie, did you want to add anything before Erica take over?
Yes, I'm still here, guys. I just want to say to the young lady that to be strong and be very courageous, like God told Joshua, and do not fear. Do not fear. Walk in it. Walk in your calling, and don't look back. I just want to encourage her. And I can't wait to sit under her teaching. God bless everybody.
Amen.
God bless you too.
Absolutely. And Erica, 0919, they just raised their hand. Did you want to say something first or open the mic? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, you can open. No, you can open the mic. That's perfectly fine.
Okay. 0919, you're on the air.
Hi. It's Annie Moore again. How are you all doing?
Hi,
Annie.
Great,
how are you?
Hi, I'm good. I just love the way you all flow together. But I wanted to the young lady that was speaking, the young woman that was speaking, her, I could hear her humility and her passion for God. And I'm excited for her. I really am. And I just love how you all are teaching us every week, how we're growing and how you all are sharing and how your flow goes and the comments that came in tonight that are blessing us and how you all are blessing all of us. So I just wanted to share it with you all.
Erica, do you want to respond?
She's already done. You're done? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't want to interrupt.
Yes.
I just want to say, I didn't. I was listening. I wanted to wait. But I want to say to Miss Christina, who came on the show, it was an honor to listen to everything you had to say, and I'm excited for you, and I wish you well. And just be sure to stay under wise counsel. You always need to surround yourself, especially with what you're, you know, doing and growing in. You definitely need to stay around wise counsel. Be very careful about who you associate with. And who you're listening to and things of that nature. So we're all pulling for you, and I definitely will be praying for you and wishing you well. I'm sure you will do great things in the future, and I'm looking forward to hearing about it and having a front row seat. So thank you very much for joining us tonight. It was a really good show, you guys. Really good show. And I just want to say, if anyone wants to do any final words before we close anything out, any comments, anything or advice you want to give people who are listening. Stacey, you up first.
Okay. Well, I wanted to respond to Annie's comment. Annie, thank you so much for your contributions. And one thing that's standing out to me is when you said, one, you took the time to congratulate Christina. And that is commendable, because when we celebrate others with what they're doing for God, guess what? God makes it happen for us. So Annie has been with me like since 2016, when I used to have my prayer line on Thursday nights. And I mean, we would go with Bible study to like sometimes 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, because everybody would be contributing and stuff. And I say that because whenever somebody got a prophetic word or they got a breakthrough through prayer, I taught them to rejoice and celebrate God for that person. So I thank God that what Annie heard tonight, she took the time to encourage her sister in Christ. And if you don't get anything else from these Friday night discussions, I pray that you walk away that we are celebrating you, each and every person. Whether you open up your mouth and contribute to the discussion or not, we celebrate God for your life. We celebrate God for the gift that you are to the body of Christ, because you are important to God. And I love when you said, Annie, that you love how we flow together. That means a lot to me, because God is doing something special with Erica, with Apostle Sheila, and with myself with these Friday night calls. And I do feel a shift taking place. And I do know that God is pleased with all of us. So just thank you for acknowledging that, and thank you for your continued support. It really means a lot. And the comment, my closing comments, acting like you don't know. What I wanted to highlight on was, don't worry about the countdown, because we'll just go into overtime. Whenever we say, like last week, the topic was, what is the purpose of your mask? And so sometimes when people ask us, are we okay, and we lie and we say, yes, I'm okay, and we put a mask on. So we say that we're okay when we're really not okay. And that's connected to acting like you don't know, because you really do know, and you know what's wrong, but you don't want to say what's wrong. And I want to encourage you to just be honest with God and honest with yourself, and stop saying that you're okay when you're not okay, and stop acting like you don't know when you do know, and then just do what you know, and do what you know with confidence. Like Evangelist Jackie said, be strong, be courageous, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And sometimes some of the things that we say, it's not going to be pleasant to people. Sometimes it's going to hurt. But our goal is not to hurt people. The truth hurts. But the truth also promotes healing and deliverance. And we have been called to set the captives free. So we can't candy coat our words. We can't water the word down. We have to speak the truth in love. So I pray that the spirit of fear will be broken off of everyone's life in whatever area it needs to be broken, and that a holy boldness will be released to be the women and men that God has called us all to be. Because everybody on this line, Luke 10:19, it's yours. So read it, study it, and apply it to your life, and know that God is going to back you up when we speak his word. So God bless everyone, and thank you so much for joining us tonight.
That was great. Apostle Sheila, would you like to give final words?
My final words are, stay in your lane. Thank you for this extraordinary show tonight. I gleaned many nuggets from it, and thank each and both of the hosts and all of the guests.
My final words would be is that we have all the information we need to live a peaceful and prosperous life. The Bible was given to us. It has all the information in it for living a good life, for living a very, I want to say spiritual life. That's not really what I want to say. I can't find the word, but a basic good life, a peaceful life. We've been given all the information. And when we don't utilize the information that we're given, our lives don't end up well. We wonder why
Erica, we can't hear you. No, and now can, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say, I don't know if you heard the Bible part. The Bible was given to us. It gives us all the information we need to live a good life. And when we ignore that information, we wonder why our lives don't turn out well. So utilize that information that's been given to you out here. Just utilize that information and give it a chance and see how your life turns out once you give that word or God's word a chance. And I want to thank all of the callers who called in, everyone who's listening. We really appreciate your presence, and we're pulling for you to do better in life as we are trying to do life ourselves. And we want to thank you all. I appreciate your presence.
Thank you, Erica. You did a wonderful job leading us tonight with tonight's discussion. And next Friday, Apostle Sheila will be our lead host. And we welcome you all to come back and join us at 7 p.m. And everyone have a safe and blessed holiday weekend. God bless you. Good night.
God bless you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.